The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Yeah, we enjoyed that block party, too, even though we were kind of behind the scenes for it. Thanks for joining us here on NFL Live. For the next 60 minutes, we're going to get you ready for Monday Night Football. Let's go right now.
I got high as high and a butterfly's flight. You can try, I will not be denied.
Lamar Jackson.
Too strong to be.
Cars going for the home run.
Jackpot, baby!
Touchdown, Baltimore!
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Windows 11. What a beautiful scene there in Vegas. Just 4 hours away, we're going to see Monday Night Football for the first time this season. And for the first time ever, fans at Allegiant Stadium, the Ravens rolling into the Death Star to take on the Raiders. We'll have a live report with the latest from Vegas in moments. So much intrigue around this game. Let's bring Adam Schefter in right off the top. What do we need to know tonight?
Well, Laura, the Las Vegas Raiders downgraded Josh Jacobs, but my understanding is he is now tracking to be able to play tonight. He went through the morning walkthrough practice this morning, which he wouldn't have been able to do if he was not playing tonight. So right now the signs look like Jacobs being able to go with Kenyon Drake. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens have their own running back issues, as we know well. You look at all the notable injuries that they've suffered in the last couple of weeks. J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, Gus Edwards, and of course Marcus Peters and Rashad Bateman not playing running back. But tonight it looks like Tyson Williams will be the first backup, and then they will lean on other backs like Trenton Cannon and Latavius Murray as well.
Tyson Williams, what a story from undrafted to starting on Monday Night Football. To me, this is the biggest story for the Ravens. This has been the most devastating rushing attack in football, but as Adam just mentioned, they've been devastated by injuries. We're going to see how good this rushing attack is, because you see how good the offensive line is, how the impact that Lamar Jackson has on those backs. Could be a big night for Williams.
Listen, based on history before this season started, the Las Vegas Raiders going to let you throw the ball wherever the hell you want to throw it. So I want to see if the Baltimore Ravens are going to try to evolve the passing game. Greg Roman mentioned it in the offseason. You're down a lot of backs that's familiar with this system. Air it out, Lamar. Let's see what's popping.
My man comes in and takes a shot right away. Young receivers for the Raiders, it's time to go. You know, for guys like Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs, it is time to step up and take this offense to a different level passing game-wise coming off of last year. Even with the Marcus Peters injury to the Ravens secondary, you're still going to see a ton of man coverage and playing against two really good cover corners. It is an opportunity you on national television to show you're not just a Darren Waller show when it comes to your passing game. I want to see the young Raiders receivers step up.
You know what's great? We're all back together. That means it's really time for football, Monday Night Football, and here we go. As Adam pointed out, the Ravens dealing with so many injuries at the running back position. So what does that all mean for Lamar Jackson? There's some good news. Jackson has been electric in primetime games. In 5 career starts, he's thrown for 18 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions. So for more, let's bring in Lisa Salters from Vegas. She's going to be on the broadcast tonight. Lisa, what does Lamar say is next in his development as a quarterback?
Yeah, Laura. Well, Lamar Jackson got that first playoff win under his belt last January, and now he says he's focused on winning a lot more. Jackson said he worked on every facet of his game during the offseason, throwing motion, footwork, pushing the ball downfield, and getting it out quicker. But his critics are still asking, can he beat you from the pocket? Sammy Watkins signed with the Ravens in April, and he told me, we all hear that talk about Lamar, but Watkins said Jackson is like the last quarterback he had, Patrick Mahomes, special. I can't wait for the world to see just how special he is, Watkins said. He said he's going to have a big year, and I can't wait to go out there and ball with him. Now, with the Ravens running backs room decimated by multiple season-ending injuries, we asked Jackson if he might have to carry even more of the load in the rushing game than he was initially preparing to, especially early in the season. And he said, nah, we've got great backs. We're going to stick with our game plan. Lark?
Yeah, on the other side, the Raiders have a run late on the late season fade route the past 2 years, winning the record in that. How do they take the next step from last year's 8-8 mark?
Yeah, well, the Raiders have got to be thinking playoffs or bust, right? They've made it to the postseason just once since 2002, and not at all since John Gruden came back in 2018. But they averaged 27.1 points a game last season, and John Gruden told us he's not taking anything for granted, but said if his offense can repeat that production, he likes his team's chances, which means, of course, the improvements have got to come from a defense that gave up 30 points a game in 2020. The Raider defense will certainly have its hands full tonight, chasing around Lamar Jackson. But defensive end Max Crosby said, we have a game plan and we're ready. We're just going to go play 100 miles an hour and constantly pursue the ball. Max Crosby also told us that he's expecting to have the best season of his career after celebrating 18 months of sobriety on Saturday.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Also, congratulations to you, Lisa. 10 years on Monday Night Football.
Let's go.
Much more coverage of Monday Night Football throughout the show. We appreciate you, Lisa. To another top story today, after the first NFL Sunday of 2021, Jameis Winston has to fill Drew Brees' shoes with the Saints, and he only starts that by throwing 5 touchdowns. He has to be careful with the football, too, and that's exactly what he was. One of the most impressive parts of his performance yesterday, the Saints had a huge win over Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in Week 1. I mentioned those 5 touchdown passes. Winston only threw the ball 20 times for 148 yards, so he made the most of his passes. And in doing so, he became just the 3rd player since 1950 to throw 5 touchdowns in his first start with a team. He also became just the 4th player in Saints franchise history to throw 5 touchdowns in a game. Dan, what did you see from Jameis when you watched the tape?
Yeah, when watching the game live, I was like, nah, he was okay.
Yeah,
I remember
we
texting you guys, right? Like, I don't know what the big deal is. And then I rewatched the tape. Jameis was absolutely fantastic. But for me, it wasn't the touchdown passes. It was some of his other decisions. There's a 2nd and 5. No one's open. Great. Tuck the ball and go run. Something that we haven't seen be a part of Jameis Winston's game in the past. 3rd and 8. He's going to get pressure off his left side. I've seen him force this ball downfield before. Instead, he tucks it and run. We're going to get a little play action fake. 1, 2, 3. This is his 4th progression in this read. That's what I loved about yesterday. Now, my favorite play was the actual bomb to Harris for the touchdown. The reason is because it's 31-3. The game is over. You have dominated the stats. There's no reason for you to make that throw unless you have trained yourself to just play the play. You know, not be committed to what the game situation was, but just go make the play. I thought Jameis was fantastic.
Well, that was one of only 2 attempts by Winston over 20 yards. The other one was an incompletion to my beloved Marquez Callaway. This one, of course, was a perfect throw.
Beloved.
But I thought that was interesting, right? Because we were wondering, okay, what – not only what iteration of Jameis are we going to see, but what is the Saints offense going to look like? He really didn't air it out. But the mere threat of him airing out it out and the Packers' awareness that he has that capability, it just changes the way defenses play the Saints. I mean, over the last few years, you've seen defenses, notably recently the Bucs, with great success pressing, pressing man coverage. Because why wouldn't you do that against Drew Brees? If you do that against Jameis Winston, you're going to get punished. I mean, the Packers did play a fair amount of man, which actually kind of surprised me how much they played. And Jameis punished them. He also punished them with his feet, taking off a few times, scrambling when they had their backs turned against him. This is an extremely balanced offense right now. And if this offense looks anything like they did Sunday the rest of the season, they're going to be one of the best in the NFL.
They will, and they're not at full strength yet. And listen, what was so impressive, like a word I never thought I would attach to Jameis Winston is efficient. He was efficient, man. Like when you think about the redevelopment of Jameis Winston, this was what Sean Payton was banking on.
Yes.
This was the relationship between Sean and Drew manifesting into Jameis Winston. And we talked about it ad nauseum, y'all. Sitting back and having a chance to watch football actually helps guys. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not always about 100 reps here, 100 reps there, 100 reps there. Jameis' situation was he had too many damn reps before anybody taught him how to play the position at a high enough level. So I think what you saw against Green Bay is who Jameis is going to be going forward, because Sean Payton has coached that for last year and a half.
I'm so glad you mentioned Sean Payton, because we were just talking about the job that Sean Payton did.
He didn't get enough credit, right?
Yeah. I mean, all season along with talking about the Packers and what weapons does Aaron Rodgers have, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Yeah. Meanwhile,
shots fired.
Jameis throwing touchdowns to Juwan Johnson, who just started playing
awesome.
The position,
yeah.
and Chris Hogan, who was playing lacrosse last year.
I'd say Jameis, do it again. Handle success.
Well, God bless
America. That's
it.
You guys mentioned him getting to sit and watch. He did that behind one of the greatest to ever do it in Drew Brees. But if you look at the future of this Saints offense in comparison to the past, their 35-point margin of victory yesterday, their largest in a season opener in franchise history. So that's true for the time that Drew Brees was there as well. Let's get Adam Schefter back in here. Tons of news to get to from Sunday. Let's stay in New Orleans to start, Adam. What can you tell us about Marcus Lattimore?
Laura, right before the game yesterday, he finalized a five-year, $97.6 million contract extension that could be worth up to $100 million. Now, during the game, he wound up hurting his thumb. He's going to need thumb surgery. He's considered week to week at this point in time. Could miss a little time, but he does have that new contract in his pocket right now. A big deal for Marcus Lattimore. Meanwhile, the Washington football team today placed its quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick on injured reserve, which means he's going to miss a few weeks here at the very minimum with that hip injury. He injured his hip in the second quarter versus the Chargers, went down hard, didn't come back, and that means Taylor Heinicke will take over as Washington's starting quarterback and be expected to start Thursday night in a short week against the Giants. And Jerry Jeudy, the Broncos wide receiver, suffered a high ankle sprain yesterday. And this play, it was an ugly play. It reminded some of the Dak Prescott play. His foot got bent backwards. It was graphic. Fortunately for him, only a high ankle sprain. 4 to 6 weeks is considered the timeline right now for Jerry Jeudy. So that's good news for him and the Broncos. And Jeff Okuda, the former number 3 overall draft pick of the Detroit Lions in the 2020 draft, ruptured his Achilles yesterday, Laura. He obviously is going to miss the season. A brutal blow for Jeff Okuda and the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, Adam, I know injuries are part of this game, but it just hurts you to hear all of these young guys, especially injured as early as they are this season. We got more from Adam Schefter coming your way from Vegas. We're just getting started on NFL Live. The Steelers defense turned up the heat on Josh Allen yesterday. Someone here says his OC got outcoached. We'll show you exactly how they did everything right to help secure the Steelers win. That's next. Plus, Jameis Winston and the Saints, they were able to stun the Packers yesterday. Something Aaron Rodgers did on the sideline has Marcus Spears concerned. Stick around for more. NFL Live is presented by Windows 11, brings you closer to what you love. And in part, by Why the Last Man, now streaming exclusively FX on Hulu.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Mina, who showed the fighting spirit on Sunday?
Some love to Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
I mean, this dude has been through it. Benched
Bulky.
For Nathan Peterman. Benched when he got a concussion in Cleveland. Last year in L.A., accidentally stabbed in the lung. And all he does is come out on week one when every single person on earth, myself included, is counting out his football team and throws for 291 yards, two touchdowns, but multiple deep balls. He looks phenomenal.
Okay, TT.
It was fun to watch him. Okay, wow, that's me.
Wow.
So many storylines.
What a pick.
Sunday, let's get
what
some
a pick.
We're going to ask this question. Is this a big deal? I might have to change that picture before next week. Dan, Trevor Lawrence, 3 interceptions in his debut. Is that a big deal?
No, this is not a big deal. So did Peyton Manning many years ago. You cannot be a great quarterback in this league unless you realize the difference between good and great decision making and good and great throws. You'll also never become great if you're just going to be always careful with the football. This is a learning year for Trevor Lawrence. Your team stinks. You got to figure out what you can and cannot do, what you can get away with and what you can't. Continue to be aggressive with the football. Don't allow your coaches to make you scared.
Marcus, Titans defense allowed 38 points in their loss to the Cardinals. Is that a big deal?
Yes, it's a huge deal, okay? Because, first of all, Vrabel is supposed to build his team's identity on stopping people. And obviously, it's the Arizona Cardinals, and we know what Kyler Murray can do against your defense. But why play cover one and zero and allow Kyler Murray to just step back and hit D-hop one-on-one and Christian Kirk with speed out of the slot? What are we doing? Help him, Vrabel.
Mina, Andy Dalton didn't throw a touchdown pass, and the Bears lost Sunday. Not a big deal.
Yes and no. I mean, no, because we all know nothing's going to change. And to Andy's credit, he actually was not terrible.
He was good.
You watch, he was competent. But we know that he doesn't give them the best chance to win. Unfortunately, he played too good to get benched, but not good enough to win. And I fear that the Bears are going to be stuck in that limbo for a while. You know I'm right, Orlando.
It's funny because Marcus said if he balled out, he was wearing his jersey into the studio. He didn't, but he didn't. It wasn't terrible. All right, then there's Buffalo. Josh Allen led the Bills to just 16 points in their week one loss to the Steelers. Allen entered the season. There's so much hype around him, but at least in week one, the Steelers' defense had other plans. So as we continue our theme here, how concerning, Marcus, was Allen's performance on Sunday?
It must be funny.
Hang on, man. What El Boogie just said, he was going to wear his jersey if he bought, but he didn't. Okay, let me get to my point. First of all, one, I'm disappointed in the way the Bills played. Let's just get that out in the open. Josh Allen is still in that maturation process that we actually saw Patrick Mahomes go through when people don't want to give you the big play every play. Mm-hmm. And he has to get to the point where he knows that teams are going to play him and Stephon Diggs a certain way and just allow himself to methodically move the football until that presents itself. Because it seems to me at times, like this sack right here you're watching with TJ, man, take off.
Sure.
Like, just go get you 5 or 10 yards. You're an athletic, big, physical quarterback. Use that to your ability. The thing that scared me about this game, I don't want Josh Allen to get cute. I don't want him to hear MVP and think I'm throwing for 400 a game and I'm going to lose some of the elements of my game that makes me special. And Buffalo, I'm going to just give you this PSA right now. You better figure out a run game. Because if you're going to win a Super Bowl, there will become a time where you're going to have to get teams out of sub packages and allow Josh Allen to play some deep ball football. But until then, if y'all not going to run the ball and y'all going to count on him to throw bombs and score points at that clip, teams are not going to allow you to do that. Mm.
We talked about sub packages. The Steelers were in dime on 38% of snaps, which is a ton for them. I mean, they were almost never in base. And it was a fascinating game plan from Keith Butler, their defensive coordinator, because when we think of Steelers and when we think of the Pittsburgh defense, what do we think of? Blitzburg, sending the heat. Most blitzes in the NFL last year. Dan, I can count the number of times they blitzed on one hand. And it kind of shocks me that the Bills didn't anticipate that. Like, we know last year, Josh destroyed the blitz, and we know that he's got the wide receivers who can beat man coverage, but the Steelers said, great, you're good at that. We got four guys who can win up front.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cam Hayward, maybe the most underrated defensive lineman in the NFL. They were all very good. We are going to put all of our DBs on the field and be super sticky, and you're going to have to beat us. And it worked. And I think what was so shocking to me about Buffalo was that they didn't pivot. I mean, they kept rolling out that 10 personnel with the four wide receivers on the field. They kept throwing the ball until the end of the game. And I really thought we would see more of an adjustment, I guess, later on.
One blitz out of that defense yesterday. And I think that defense, Pittsburgh, really took the Buffalo Bills' offensive philosophy and put it on the defense. The Bills run really a third down offense on first and second down. Well, the Steelers just went, we're going to call third down defenses on first and second down, and that's what happened. So, hidden four-man rush. Look at all these walk-around defenders. There's only two people on first and 10 with their hand down in the ground. You don't see that. And Josh Allen is looking around like, all right, who is going to be actually the people that are going to rush me? I'm going to get one front side, one back side, and then that front side defender is going to drop out. So it feels like pressure, but it's only four guys. There's an easy completion on first and 10 right to your right. Into the boundary. Just throw it. Nope. Throw it into a condensed window. Becomes an incompletion. Now watch this. Two guys are going to be accounting for rushing, actually rushing the quarterback. Go get him. And two guys at the defensive line. We just want you to be mirrors. Build a wall. Right? So those two internal guys, Marcus, you know this. Go get the quarterback. Create chaos.
Basketball.
And those two, just mirror him. Don't allow him outside of the pocket. Now, this is going to end up being a drop, but it ends up being a holding penalty because of holding the ball so long. And the next one is this. All right, second and three. The ball's going to get snapped at about the 43-yard line. The safety pre-snap is 13 yards deep. We're telling you, dude, we're going to get deep. All you have to do is flash fade. Coach calls the shot plate's not there. Second and three, check the ball down your back. He's going to catch that ball and go for 15 yards. This is how you play just kind of boring, non-sexy football. Josh Allen, we weren't going to let you go make big plays. We weren't going to play man coverage. We weren't going to let you outside the pocket. And it was almost like, quit hitting yourself, quit hitting yourself. That's what the Bills offense
Somebody needs to give that.
And it was disappointing to your guys' point that they never adjusted both quarterback and coach.
To be less sexy.
Dan doing that was definitely the opposite of sexy.
Can't get
all right,
there.
Next
Close
on NFL
tight.
Live, Baker Mayfield's season debut was phenomenal until he needed to win it. Find out if our crew thinks the Browns are going to be good enough to beat the Chiefs this year when it matters most. You are watching NFL Live, presented by Windows 11.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're watching NFL Live, presented by Windows 11.
It's a special Between the Lines megacast on Monday Night Football, featuring a live broadcast of the game with analysis from the NFL Live team, plus analysis and odds from Daily Wager. Ravens Raiders megacast on Monday Night Football, only on ESPN+.
Hey, that's us. We can't wait. We'll be here with you for the Monday Night Football Megacast tonight. Of course, we will be sharing the screen with Doug Kazarian, the Daily Wager crew. Excited for that. Doug, what are you guys watching for tonight?
Laura, thank you. Yeah, we are super excited for tonight. And I know they'll be rocking down the street as well for the game. Doug Kazarian alongside Joe Fortenbaugh and Tyler Fulgham. All right, Joe, a lot of opportunities here to approach this game. How are you seeing it?
Derek Carr passing yards over 256.5. He's going to have a great opportunity against this Baltimore defense that will be without cornerback Marcus Peters. 2 years ago, when the Ravens acquired Peters, prior to his arrival, they were surrendering 269 passing yards a game. After his arrival, 169 passing yards per game. That is a huge blow to this defense. Carr averaged exactly 256 passing yards per game last year. They're trailing in this game. He'll be throwing for the full four quarters. I like him going over 256.5.
Similar approach for me, but I'm going to the other quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Over 1.5 passing touchdowns. The narrative and the logic here is pretty simple. Ravens have been decimated at the running back position, but also Lamar's rushing less, 200 yards fewer on the ground a year ago than 2 years ago, and his passing has evolved, takes a big step every single season, especially against his Raiders defense. I think I can see two passing touchdowns or more out of Lamar Jackson. But, Tyler, you want to go to the futures market here.
Yeah, this game scares me because of all the injuries on the Baltimore side. I know they're the better team, but it's a little concerning. My confidence lies in I just don't think the Raiders are going to be that good this year. I'm going to go under their season win total of 7. I don't like the way they've built this roster. They're matched up with the NFC East across conferences, and Washington's better than them. The way Dallas looked against Tampa Bay, I think that'd be an easy win for Dallas as well. So I just don't see 8 wins on the schedule for the Raiders.
And this AFC West division is
very
significantly
difficult.
Improved yeah. Over the last couple of years. Of course, Denver getting healthy as well. All right, we are fired up. Laura, looking forward to it.
Cannot wait to see you guys tonight. Between the Lines Megacast, going to be a lot of fun. For more on Monday Night Football, let's get Adam Schefter in here. Adam, one of the big stories this offseason was Lamar and his contract situation in Baltimore. Where does that stand now?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people thought he might have that deal done by the time the season started, much like Josh Allen in Buffalo in the same draft class. But the fact of the matter is Lamar Jackson is representing himself in the negotiations with the Ravens. He doesn't have an agent that does it on a daily basis. And Lamar Jackson is much more concerned with the Las Vegas Raiders in the 2021 season than he is with getting that long-term deal done. And so the talks between the two sides have been good, positive, moving forward. Both sides want to get it done. Both sides believe it will get done. It's just that Lamar has other business that he needs to tend to first before moving on to the business of a contract.
I think it says a lot about who Lamar Jackson is as a person. Just around 3.5 hours until kickoff of Monday Night Football. Adam, you got some news since we last spoke about Ryan Fitzpatrick's injury. What can you tell us?
Well, Laura, we knew that he was going to be placed today on injured reserve with the hip injury that he suffered yesterday. But I got word just a short time ago that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks with that hip injury that landed him on IR today. And that means that Tyler Heinicke will be starting for the Washington football team and that Washington will have to make do without Fitzpatrick for about the next 2 months.
All right, Adam, back with us in moments. Let's get back to this Sunday's matchup between the Browns and Chiefs. It lived up to all the expectations. Big reason for that, the play of Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes. Mayfield continually completed the tough throws, completing nearly 15% of his passes over expectation. That's the highest of any QB this week. But it wasn't enough to stop Mahomes. He threw 3 touchdowns, giving him 35 touchdowns, no interceptions in the month of September, where he is 11-0. Mahomes is now 10-6 in games when trailing by double digits, including the playoffs, making him the only qualifying QB with a winning record in such games in the Super Bowl era. That's absolutely nuts. Mina, the Chiefs got the win yesterday, but did you see anything that concerned you in all that?
I mean, no and yes. No, because they're the Chiefs. I mean, you heard that stat about – it's an important stat, by the way, coming off of Lamar, because Lamar gets dinged a lot. When he's down by 10 points, he doesn't win. Nobody wins when you're down by 10 points, unless you're Patrick Mahomes. And I felt the whole time like they were going to win. They were like a cat playing with their food before they eat it, you know, like kind of batting it around.
You guys know how cats do that.
And then they break the mouse's neck. Sorry, that's graphic.
Whoa.
But if you have a cat. Anyways,
we went there.
Here's
okay.
What I'm concerned, because and when I say concerned, I mean concerned about Super Bowl, because that's what we're talking about when we talk about the Chiefs. The Chiefs are an extremely top-heavy roster. They win when their stars play well. And yesterday, their stars won them the game. Mahomes, Hill, Kelce, and then Chris Jones. That's why they won the game. Sure. They did not have Tyrann Mathieu, who's their other biggest star. As well, you know, Frank Clark was out and Willie Gay Jr. too. The problem with this team is what happens when you're missing one or more of these guys. I didn't really see what I would like to from the receiving depth behind Hill and Kelce. I've been saying, you know, Mecole Hardman, can you emerge as a number two option? Mm-hmm. Didn't really show that. And then outside of Chris Jones, a pass rush. So I'm not worried. I'm really not. But I do want to see more because they don't have the same depth as Tampa Bay.
It was an important qualifier that you're worried a little bit about the Super Bowl, right? We're not talking about even the regular season here for the Chiefs. Let's focus on the Browns a little bit, Marcus, because there's no moral victories here. But what did stand out to you in the quarterback battle between these two in Baker Mayfield and Patrick
Mahomes? Baker was phenomenal for most of the game until the end. And listen, y'all heard me say it. Like, at some point, you're going to have to deal with Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's going to score a touchdown, and you're going to have to answer. Like, that's what we all know about who he is as a football player. When he's down, he's going to score a touchdown. And your quarterback has to come out that next possession and have an opportunity to win the football game. And this was Baker, obviously. He made this mistake. And this is what I'm talking about when we, to your point, Mean, I'm glad you said Super Bowl, because we're not just talking about it in the context of winning the week one game in the regular season. We all expect the Cleveland Browns to make the playoffs.
Yep.
We expect the Cleveland Browns to make a deep playoff run.
Yep.
And it will come down to Baker Mayfield in a key drive making the throws to win the game. I alluded to it last year. When we sat in here and watched him play the Baltimore Ravens, he answered drive after drive after drive. And then Lamar did his thing at the end of the game. He's going to have to be able to do that if the Cleveland Browns are going to beat the Chiefs.
This is also why I hate and love Patrick Mahomes, because it's like, hey, you got to go be one of the best players ever to you know, it's and why he's so special. I know this. The Browns have one of the best offenses in the NFL because they got one of the best play caller and play designers in the NFL. Two things that I love about the Browns offense and reasons why they're going to go make those runs. They have as diverse a run game as there's in the NFL. Like, a lot of people think it's just that stretch outside zone. It's not. You saw a gap scheme. You saw counter schemes. You saw toss schemes. You saw the outside zone schemes. And then I love the fact that when it comes to their pass game, Kevin Stefanski goes, I want to put big people on the field, get in big people formations, and then throw it.
Yep.
Like, think about the mind mess that is with defensive coaches that you see these big tight ends and Njoku's on the field and Austin Hooper's on the field and here comes their run formations. Oh, no, stretch zone, and it's an easy dump off by Baker Mayfield, and all of a sudden it's a 25-yard completion. Because Kevin Stefanski really invertly calls his plays. You know what I'm saying? Like, he gets these big bodies on the field and these condensed tight formations, yeah, and then he goes those play action movement and shots. And I just think that that reason gives Browns fans such confidence and belief that they got a talented roster, but they also have an absolute superstar play calling wise.
You know, it's funny because I picked the Chiefs to win this game. I found myself rooting for the Browns. I was like disappointed
I was rooting
for the Chiefs and the Browns.
But either way, I know, me too. But either way, you know, you said something important. You're talking about the Browns and the conversation for the Super Bowl. You couldn't have said that about him even as recently as a couple of years ago. So big for this Cleveland team.
I love that you've come around on Baker.
All right, coming up on NFL Live, when things got so tough last night. Hey, Marcus, I'm still on camera. So did Rodgers' attitude. We dive into that and what this means for the Packers' chemistry the rest of the season. Coming up next on NFL Live. We're not used to this in-studio stuff yet, but Marcus, big man balling.
First of all, I was just so damn excited I messed up and walked in Laura's shot. But BMB is back, y'all, and I'm going to tell y'all why none of these guys made my big man balling this week.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming this week on Monday Night Countdown. Before the Ravens and Raiders square off, Lamar Jackson relives his unforgettable Monday night moment.
Things just start not going our way. I was getting ticked off. He's like, man, I can't do nothing because I'm cramping.
Plus,
you just got mossed.
Randy ranks the week's best catches, and we reveal the moments that have our guys saying,
come on, man.
Kick off your Monday night with Countdown at 6 p.m. Eastern, followed by the Ravens and Raiders at 8 on ESPN and ABC.
As Susie just said, the main event at 8 Eastern right here on ESPN, ABC, and the ESPN app. Steve Levy, Brian Griese, Louis Riddick, Lisa Salters, and John Perry have the call. You can watch it tonight. We've got a report live from Vegas coming your way on the field from Adam Schefter on this game. That's coming your way in moments. Each week on NFL Live, ESPN, and the NFL will spotlight the High School Coach of the Week. This week, the Las Vegas Raiders have selected Coach Brant Smith from Desert Oasis High School. In his first season as head coach at Oasis, Coach Smith has the Diamondbacks off to a 2-0 start, including a game-winning 42-yard field goal to complete the come-from-behind victory against Spring Valley. Congratulations, Coach. New on NFL Live here, ESPN's Todd Archer tweeting, the Cowboys have removed Zach Martin and backup Brandon Knight from the reserve COVID-19 list, adding, though, defensive end Randy Gregory to the list, putting him in question for the Chargers game. Wide receiver Michael Gallup, another update here, has been placed on IR. That'll keep him out at least three games. But listen, Dak Prescott's probably thrilled to have Zach Martin back. To Aaron Rodgers, who has had plenty to say all offseason off the field, but his play on the field week one against the Saints didn't say much. Green Bay was without David Bakhtiari on the O-line, so that certainly factors in. But either way, the Packers are 0-1. Rodgers struggled mightily on third downs against the Saints, completing just 2 of 7 passes for 12 yards while throwing one of his 2 interceptions on the day. That's really uncharacteristic of this guy. He led the entire NFL in pass yards on third downs last season. And another reminder that he didn't play in the preseason. But let's get some quick reads on the Rodgers situation. Dan, what do you make of his struggle?
Yeah, did they go to the TPC Sawgrass together, Rodgers and Matt LaFleur? Because it's rare to watch them both get outcoached and outplayed, and that's what happened. No play action through three quarters when Aaron Rodgers played 6 play action. That's something that really made them different as an offense last year. Now it's week one, but you want to see marked improvement through week two. And I want to see that offensive line that we talked about over the last couple weeks, those 3 new pieces, I want to see them get some cohesion reps. Bad week one, let's see what week two looks like.
Yeah, I'm here for the emotion. And listen, man, I did not like Aaron Rodgers' demeanor. It reminded me of Urban Meyer on the sideline during Trevor Lawrence getting his head banged in against the Saints. Listen, man, this is not good, all right? Everybody knows that losing football games happen.
But with everything that transpired this offseason and to come out and have a week one performance like this, this does not look like something that was just off the field that Aaron Rodgers can fix. There is an issue in Green Bay, people.
So I thought the Saints defense would put up a good fight. I didn't anticipate them absolutely whooping the Packers. Yeah. And they were dominant at every level, guys. We knew there was a potential mismatch on the D-line versus that reshuffled Packers offensive line, but the linebackers, Mario Davis, Marcus Williams, Marshawn Lattimore, when he was healthy in this game, were all phenomenal. They played a ton of two-man, which is their signature, with the two-high shell and then the man coverage underneath, and Green Bay just was not ready for it. I don't know what to say. What? I mean, they just got beat profoundly.
Is this, in one word, more about the Packers or more about the Saints being good?
Packers.
Interesting. I think you could see it either way. Anybody else have a...
I think the Saints have one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Okay, there you go. Still to come, the Ravens have gotten absolutely gutted with injury this offseason. So do they need to change their offensive attack against the Raiders tonight? Someone on our show says no. That plus a live report next on NFL Live. NFL Live is presented by Windows 11. Brings you closer to what you love. My guts, my sweat, my tears. I've been doing this thing since... Game Picks is brought to you by T-Mobile. With nationwide 5G coverage, T-Mobile keeps you in the game coast to coast with Monday Night Pick'em on the ESPN Fantasy app. T-Mobile, the leader in 5G.
Y'all know what time it is.
Oh, it's the best segment on television.
It's the time to show the big fellas that's balling out on Sunday.
Oh, stand up! Let's go!
Boom! Get off your feet, bro. Dump him on his head, big fella.
Tiny violin.
No, sir, you cannot pass go. Big man, touchdown, pins. Nobody catch him. Shout out to the double X, triple XL fella. I remember when I used to do that. You made big man balling, big dog.
We balling.
He's back.
Turn up.
Give me my segment back. The offseason been too long. Here we back. We got a B&B, a special edition. And I'm going first with my man Chandler Jones. Y'all know I had to mention him first. He had 5 sacks yesterday. So, Chandler, listen, man. I don't know what you did this offseason. Coming off of an injury. Arthur Smith ain't in Tennessee no more. I am not reading boot. I'm going hit Ryan Tannehill. Call the fumble. Now, I would throw the other big man in there, Big Peters, who picked it up and took it to the end zone. But I don't really care about him today, okay? Let's go to the next one. Number two, Chandler Jones again. It ain't no way in hell you gonna get 5 sacks and not show up at least twice on big man balling. Again, just lift him off his feet. Oh. You off balance, big fella. And your quarterback back here thinking he got time when he really don't. This is Chandler. He works them hand drills. His brother is a fighter. He knows how to use leverage. And he leverages the man to beat up Ranton. Y'all thought I was going somewhere else? It's Chandler Jones again. Chandler Jones was out of breath like I am right now. Chandler Jones was whooping people. This is Taylor Lewan. They run an inside game. And look at this guard. He already knows. Look at him, go off the screen. Listen, y'all, let me tell you something. Chandler Jones this offseason wanted some more money. Y'all better pay that man.
Woo!
With his shirt. The move. Don't run into the camera. Okay.
You rapping for you.
Hey, I wanted to see.
Shirt.
I thought maybe that Marcus was going to pick Dan up again, but
you
think he's too out of breath.
Swaggoo season.
Swaggoo season.
I'm tired. Y'all know how much, y'all know how much energy.
Get you a shirt, folks.
Listen, you got to get back in mid-season perform in to be able
to. You're supposed to have a towel for me, too.
I'm going to get you a towel. Use Dan's shirt.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. That's
damn. He damned.
Good thing he's not wearing makeup. Okay, back to tonight's Monday Night Football game, the Ravens versus the Raiders. One of the biggest questions surrounding is the running back position for the Ravens. They lost J.K. Dobbins, reserve Justice Hill, and Gus Edwards last week. In fact, 5 season-ending injuries in the span of just 19 days. Let's get Adam Schefter back out with more on this. Adam, you broke the story last week about Gus Edwards being out. They previously signed Le'Veon Bell, added Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray. Where do we stand heading into tonight?
Well, Laura, the 4 o'clock Eastern deadline today came and went without the Ravens activating either Le'Veon Bell or Devonta Freeman, which means tonight they will go into their opener against the Las Vegas Raiders with Tyson Williams, Trenton Cannon, and Latavius Murray at the running back position. Those will be the three guys. Clearly, they made the determination that right now they're still not where they want to be with either Le'Veon Bell or Devonta Freeman. Again, neither back activated before tonight's game, and the Ravens will lean on the other three backs who had been on their active roster.
Adam, we'll see you on Monday Night Countdown. You're just a couple hours away from that. Thanks so much for joining us here from Vegas.
Thank you.
Interesting,
Laura,
that Le'Veon Bell not activated, guys. The Ravens have lost their top three running backs to injuries since the start of training camp, but they still arguably have their best rusher available in Lamar Jackson, right? The Ravens quarterback has already accounted for 10 100-yard rushing games in his career. That's one shy of tying Mike Vick for the most by a quarterback in NFL history, including the playoffs. But Marcus, just how big a deal are all these injuries to the running back position in Baltimore? I think you've caught your breath by now.
I hate
now.
That y'all came to me first because I'm still catching my breath.
That's what I'm doing just to see if you caught
your
breath.
These walks have been helping, though. Listen, let me put this out here.
These walks.
All right, the Baltimore Ravens always have had a run game by committee.
Yeah.
Like, people, you don't look at the Ravens backfield and say, this one guy is a 1,200-yard rusher. And, you know, obviously Lamar is the focal point. But when you think about how they do it, it's a plethora of guys. And that is compromise. And not only compromise from Gus Edwards and Justice Hill and obviously J.K. Dobbins understanding how they want their reps to go, but it also is Greg Roman. Like, what do you have to change because your personnel is different in the backfield? And not to get away from your identity. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about new guys doing something that you lean on heavily to have success. So now I go to the next point. Lamar Jackson is playing the Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah. Unless they made an overnight overhaul and they are going to be phenomenal on the back end, the evolution of this passing game needs to show up at some point during this game. Marquise Brown, obviously. We know what Mark Andrews is. Will they take him away? Obviously, Sammy Watkins coming in. I want to see if the Las Vegas Raiders say, we are going to load this box and see if Lamar can beat us because of this situation that they're in with these running backs.
Mina, you wish they had Rashad Bateman, too, but I know. Anyway, go ahead.
No, amongst their many injuries, I agree with you. If they load the box and overcommit to the run, Lamar Jackson does need to use his arm. But I really strongly believe this Baltimore team needs to stick with what they do well. And it's important to note, too, it's not just about the backs, it's really the system. Like, it's a combination of the presence of Lamar Jackson, which completely changed the math for what defenses have to play on the field, and then also Greg Roman, as much criticism as we give him for some of the pass offenses over the years, the dude is one of the most creative run game designers in the league.
No doubt.
I would be more hesitant if Tyson Williams, who's coming in as a starting back, I hesitated because, gosh, this is a dude who was on the practice squad last year, if he hadn't been in the building, but he has been there. He knows the offense. They have a lot of faith in him. I watched him in the preseason. He did look explosive. He had the qualities. I would say that reminded me a little bit more of Dobbins than Gus Edwards. It's a tough task. It's a big ask for a guy who, you know, to come in and replace that sort of production. But I do think the combination of him and Latavius Murray, who's a very capable back, can sustain, maybe not match, but sustain that rushing. And I'll add one more thing. This is a Raiders defense that's bad at defending the pass, but they ain't good at defending the run either.
Right.
28th in DVOA last year, so you still want to run on them.
Yeah, I think if you're a Ravens fan, I know I'm going to be looking for two specific things. I better not be able to guess more often than not what the play is going to be, whether it's going to be a run or a pass.
Ever.
You really want to start to see these things kind of married together. Okay, run, look becomes a pass, or a pass, look becomes a run. And then the second thing is, because of Bateman being out, Mark Andrews got to have a big night for them to win. I talked about some of those other receivers, but you talked about how bad the defense is at just pass coverage in general. Gus Bradley coming over, you are anticipating seeing a bunch of cover three, right? So that tight end better eat the seams, you know, better eat the seams with some of those play action movements, getting over the top of those linebackers. I think I just want to see this offense continue to show me that they fixed some of the things that we have said on this show and talked about. for them to get to the next level. We talked about the Browns and the Chiefs being, all right, well, when it comes to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Well, this team wants to get there. And so Hollywood Brown's got to play well, but show me the offense look the same, and then Mark's got to have a big night.
How much pressure is on John Gruden tonight on the Raiders side of things, this big opener with the fans back in the stadium there at the Death Star?
There's absolutely pressure. The one thing Gruden has working for him is that Mayock is on his staff. He'll be the first one to get axed if it goes bad. Like, just live in reality, 10-year, $100 million deal, a coach that's there, Derek Carr and that offense play well. What do we know John Gruden for? Good offense. So it'll be some other people go before John Gruden. But there is absolute pressure for him to win this year, but he's improved every year, so hopefully they can get over it.
Let's pick this game tonight. Dan, you get to go first. You taking the Ravens or you taking the Raiders?
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens. They got the best team and they got the best player. I think the score is going to be something like 31-20. Lamar should have a big night. I don't think they're going to get stopped a ton on offense, both running and throwing the football.
Yeah, I'm going – who is it, me?
I think I'm up. All right, I'm also going to take the Ravens, and I'm nervous because I can already see the shadows. I don't know where this is going, but I agree with Dan, best player. They still have a very good defense, even with the loss of Marcus Peters. I think they're going to bring the heat on a Raiders offensive line that's got some issues.
I'm going Ravens, too, and this is looking bad for our show. But going 31-24, and listen, it's going to be about Lamar. Your point, it'll be about Lamar being the best player on the field, and they'll still run.
This is bad for our show because I'm also picking the Ravens.
God.
We all picked the same team. The other team wins. But either way, we'll see you on the MegaCast ESPN Plus. Join us a little bit before 8 p.m. We'll be all over this game tonight. And we'll also see you tomorrow on NFL Live.
Apologies.